But right now, 24 minutes to 10 o'clock, and we have self-esteem engineer Bev Malone in the studio. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, ma'am.
And how are we doing in this weather?
We're doing great. I love this weather.
Do you?
Love it. Aside from what it does to the hair, I find it invigorating.
And well, you don't have to worry about that with your lovely new hairstyle, do you?
Well, not too much.
You don't have a problem. Okay, Bev, we've got millions. Let's start.
Okay,
Let's start. So this person sent through an SMS before 9 o'clock this morning. Before 9 o'clock this morning.
Really?
This
well,
SMS
we have
came
to attend
through.
To it immediately.
Immediately. 12th of September, 1965, female.
12th of September, 1965. Oh, I like that. We're getting gender. Okay. 6 and 5.
Okay. So, in the meantime, SMS 34519. Better still, call
okay.
us in the studio 0861 24 24
36.
Right.
Okay. 12th of September, 1965. So, very clearly here we have somebody who wants to change planet Earth, right? So,
we need you.
Yes, we need you.
We need you
to be in full power is what we need. We don't need you to be lost in the trappings of everything that can hold back this kind of potential.
Okay.
And those trappings would be distraction, the fear of rejection, the fear of public scrutiny, the fear of people having an opinion stronger than the worthwhileness of trying. That's the kind of thing that might hold somebody like this back, because we have here a world changer who can command followings, who doesn't even mean to command followings and probably does, and has a fiery spirit of ability, just an enthusiasm and passion for things that, when inspired, can absolutely ignite other people to follow. Now, that's in a healthy, conscious state. This is a great leader. Of course, the tendency there is to chop people up if they don't follow the way, and to have this capacity to just delete people from her life if they hurt her or disappoint her. With an absolute, not self-righteousness, but an absolute certainty that she is right, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
But there's a beautiful, generous, fun-filled, compassionate, giving spirit there that underlies all of this. So this is not somebody who wants to be militant, but is certainly capable of militant behavior. And so what we're hoping is that with this kind of amazing leadership potential, this kind of amazing, insightful, charismatic potential, that it has been liberated in that way. And if it hasn't, do the work quickly. Start working, because these kind of women in society change things. Yes, they have vision, they have drive, they have dreams, they see things as they should be and lament the way they are, and they want to change, and etc. And the only thing that holds somebody this powerful back is a fear of rejection and a fear of scrutiny and a fear of not being perfect enough. Drop all of that, get on with it. That's the short version. The long version is, if those things are currently holding you back, find out what is the unmet need. When you were little and you wanted the affirmation and you wanted someone to tell you you were special and they didn't, and that need was not met, the fear of not being told that as you get older can almost cripple you. When you realize that it is so nice to get affirmation and it is so nice to have people agree with what you're doing, but if you know what you're doing is right and you know what you're doing is good for you and will bring at the very least no harm to others, we have to find the way to be willing to mess up and willing to try, independent of the opinion, scrutiny, affirmation, acceptance or rejection of others. And until we can do that, we cannot live in our full potential. It's not possible.
Okay, fantastic.
Imagine you, Nikki, with a fear of rejection, a fear of public scrutiny, a fear of opinion.
No, I would never be able to do what
you would
I
never
do.
Be who Nikki Seberini was supposed to be. It wouldn't be possible at all. Not in part, at all.
Thanks, Bev.
Okay,
so this person, we need you.
Yeah, get on with it.
We need you. Okay, we've got Bev on the line. Hi, good morning, Bev. Hi, Bev.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Please go ahead, Bev.
Okay. Well, my birthday is the 24th of July, 1955.
July 1955, Bev. Yeah. Great name, by the way.
Yes, I know that.
Is there anything specific you'd like to look at?
No, I just wanted to know what you can see.
Okay, I can see lots of things.
All right. Okay, Bev, you're going to listen on the radio.
Yes, I will.
Thank you, Bev. Thanks for calling. Okay. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. So, yeah, we can certainly see lots of things. Bev, right off the bat, does not like to be told where to sit. And I promise you she's laughing now. She doesn't like to be told where to sit, when to sit, how long to sit for, etc. She doesn't like her boundaries to be measured by other people. Mm. She likes to believe in the potential to do things and to try things. And she has a very wonderful, dramatic way about the presentation of how she'd host people and how she would take care of people, etc. There's a very specific way about Bev, very creative, and I certainly hope that that's liberated and that she allows herself to play in that arena, because it's the creativity, that sharp mind, that is so there. It is so there, mixed in with a very generous, caring, compassionate spirit. It's lovely. Where I'd say that one might be concerned, and if I was sitting with you, Bev, and you said, well, where do I need to work? Where should I focus? I want to make sure I've been doing that in the last while, because this is still a very young woman. This is only a woman in her 50s. You know, she's nearing her 60s, and that's a beautiful time of expression and redevelopment and giving permission to yourself to redesign how the next 10 or 15 or 20 years will be. You know, in Jewish thought, you're only almost halfway there. Mm. We always go for the 120 mark, and bless the 21st century, that's becoming such a fast and hard reality, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. Longevity's moved from when I was in my 20s to about 75 to 20 years later, where longevity's 95 to 100.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. I must tell you.
No, me too. I mean, I went to a Terabar, was at a funeral, and I just happened to, it was, yeah, I know, sorry I'm even going there, but I just looked at these graves, and I looked at the tombstones, and so many people in that area at the age of 65. A lot of these people died. We're talking about people, you know, we're talking about many years ago in the 40s, but it was just, you know, if you look at today, as you say, it's 95.
I seldom meet people 65. Today in their 70s who are retired.
No, they still
seldom
vibrant,
and not because
happening,
they all
doing...
need to work. A lot of people are just getting into their power in their 40s and 50s.
I agree.
They're finally figuring out what they don't want
Gone
to do.
Gone are the days. Yes. You may only
what
find
do
yourself
want to
at
do.
That age. I love it.
Exactly. I feel like a fledgling in what I want to do. I really do. Like, I'm just starting to feel the little feathers get wings.
Mm.
It is certainly not at its max. I haven't even begun to do what I hope to do.
Yeah.
So for people today, and I'm saying this to Bev especially, and everyone else, you know, feel free to come along for the ride. If you don't live your story, you can't live your potential. And Bev has a story. I don't know what that story is. I don't know what the dream is, the vision. I don't know the platform she wants to hold. I hope she's holding it. But if she's not, then it's only because she fears the rotten tomatoes and not the applause. And Bev, I'm going to say to you what I say to everyone. If it's a heart song, go sing it. If it's something that makes you want to dance, so go dance to it. Do you need an audience? Do you need a platform where everyone else is dancing? No, you just need to move your body to your own rhythm. You need to get it going. Just do it. Just do it, independent of the scrutiny of others. Maybe that should be the name of my next book. Independent of the scrutiny of others. Give yourself permission to be.
Just do it.
Yeah, it's too long a title. We'll have to work on that. But, you know, I want to convey that message. But having said that, one more thing I'd like to offer with Bev is that part of what has potentially held her back is the sensitivities. This is a strong woman who's charismatic and very likable, but there's sensitivities she doesn't share with people. And it can tend her towards feeling like a victim of others sometimes. And Bev, we're seldom a victim. When we're pinned down, you're a victim. As soon as that experience is over, you're a survivor. And in most day-to-day relationships, we're not victims. We just choose to give too much power away.
Mm.
We give too much permission to someone else to control our thoughts, our events, how we unfold, how we do, how we be. And when we stop giving that permission to others and we can exhale after we've been with them and go, whoa, that's not something I'm taking with me into the rest of the day, we start to become the power in our own moment. And there's nothing, I think, more important than being the power in your own moment. Mm. Because I have spoken with women who have been violated at the worst level, as we know, and that would be a rape. And they did not give over their power in the moment. It was taken from them.
Mm.
In the moment, they were powerless to defend themselves. But as soon as they were set free of that experience, they regained that absolute certainty that they did not give it away. It was taken. And so there's trauma, and so there's counseling, and there's repair, and there's healing that needs to be done, yes. But they did not become victims of every other human being or experience from then on, which many people I've spoken to have done. And that's one of the biggest reasons that I want to ultimately work with survivors of trauma and violent crimes against people and families who have lost people, and etc., through violence. Because I have done work in the prisons for a short while years ago, and I very soon realized I don't want to work with the prisoners. I don't want to work in maximum security offense. I don't want to work with people who have killed and maimed and gang raped and murdered and etc. It's not because I don't think they are worthy of the work. Not at all. There's lots of people who want to go work there. That's fantastic. Rehabilitation is very much happening in many of our prisons, and I've seen it. I've seen hardened criminals who've done horrific things with compassion and conflict resolution and openness and change. It's not that I don't want to work with them because I don't think they're worthy. I want to work with the people who they affected, because those people remain in society and they remain in relationships and they remain having children. And when they go out of an experience in which they were victimized and hold on to that victim mentality, they manifest more victim reality on an ongoing basis. So what I'm saying to Bev and to everyone else is that from time to time, we are victims of something, an unreal boss who's unreasonable. We're victims of crime. We are victims of partners who are not reasonable. We are victims of children who are hurtful. It happens. But if we give our power away, we remain the victim. Hmm. When you reclaim your power afterwards, then you remain a survivor. And how you manage yourself afterwards is as a survivor, with courage, with perseverance, with fortitude, not as a victim.
Very powerfully put. We're going to take a break.
Great.
We, Bev, after that, let's look at a female mom, 17th of December, 1982. Female mom, 17 December, 1982.
Got a BlackBerry, iPhone, or Windows Mobile?
Did you know you can get Chai FM on it?
Do now. Visit ChaiFM.com and listen live.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM.
9 minutes to 10 o'clock. Good morning. Friday morning it is. We have self-esteem engineer Bev Malun in the studio. Bev is looking at your birth dates. And we have a birth date here. A female mom, 17 December 1982.
Female mom.
Female mom. Okay. Not a male mom. A female. No.
As opposed.
It was, she put female, and then she thought, let me put in mom as well, so you get a perspective of where she is in her life.
I get it. A female mom. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she's just in her feminine energy now. Some moms aren't.
Oh.
Yeah, they're very dictatorial and blah, 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 blah. That's not exactly a feminine energy.
Oh.
But hey.
Okay, hey.
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 Let's look. All right, so female mom of the 17th of December 1982. So we have a fairly young mom as well. This is a mom who's 30. I suppose in some society she should have 10 children by now. So we have, what gives? A very sensitive mom, that's what we have. A very sensitive mommy who wants to help the world. Wow, that must be frustrating in the 21st century. Although your energy is completely in line with how the world is supposed to be. It's supposed to be in a century of helping each other and creating flow, and humanity is supposed to become equalized. Humility is meant to be in play now, and anything else is supposed to be completely taken apart. And it is being, as we've discussed before. So I think the fundamental thing I see that I want to convey across to this mom is that you have an unbelievable ability to help, take care of, nurture, and and manage processes. But one has to be very careful where we draw the line on how much we nurture and how much we manage and how much we dictate and how much we do for others, because sometimes that can be crippling. If we over-nurture, over-manage, over-help, over-organize, over-assist, over-protect, etc., there are times in which the opinion that you're right is not always the best opinion for you. So some people say, well, we love each other, but you're heartbroken all the time, you fight all the time, there's so much pain all the time. What are you doing? Sometimes love is not enough. I know people who love chocolate, but they're diabetic. Mm. Move on. Sometimes the things we love are just not the right things for us.
So you see, the fact that she always does for other people.
I'm saying that there's a huge capacity to manage other people's process here, direct it, have strong opinion about it. She's a philosopher. She has deep, sensitive, philosophical ideals about everything. About everything. And so that can lead with those expectations that come with having those ideals to a lot of disappointment, one. Two, there's a huge capacity to want to manage, organize, help, save, heal, bathe, you name it, on her terms, the way she sees it should be done. And there's a very overprotective nature here. And so as a mom, what I'm saying, young mom, female mom, consider that sometimes children have to fall to learn how to get up.
Hmm.
They have to be hurt to learn how to survive hurt. It's not an easy thing for us to know with our children. We have our heart.
It goes against instinct.
It does and it doesn't. You know, when you have somebody who's coaching a person to become a comrade's marathon runner, they don't say wrap them in cotton wool. They say go run, go pound your body, harden it, go get it stronger, go get it into a position where it can manage 90 kilometers of that. Go do it. I'm hurt here. Okay, go do this, go do that, right, back on the road. And when we take it into managing a process of raising a child and not dragging them up, actually playing a role in them growing up, actually growing, understand that what you're saying is they're growing. They have to grow. They have to stretch. They have to learn how to be resourceful in the world. And recognizing their resources and saying, wow, that was so resourceful of you. That was so equipped of you. That was so self-preserving of you, is far healthier and better for children to hear than good boy, good girl, well done. Or, oh good, you did what mommy said, or whatever it is. And we need to take our ego out of our parenting in needing to be right. And this mom has very specific ideas about what's right and what's in the best interest, and not from an evil place at all. This is from a loving, nurturing, I want the best for you, I want you to be protected, I want you to be a victim of the world place. But we cannot find our greatest strength until we have stretched ourselves to the place where we didn't think we could go and survived it. It's not possible. I'm not saying it's easy. Very little about living in your potential is easy. Couch potatoing is easy. Moving your body and doing things and moving your mind and stretching and growing and developing yourself takes effort. I always like to say, everything falls apart naturally. Buildings will deteriorate and dilapidate naturally. Building always happens on purpose. It's the same with humanity and with people. And sometimes with a person who has this much expectation and sensitivity and willingness to be a part of other people's process, sometimes the work is in letting the process unfold and supporting it and encouraging it and allowing for some things to fall a bit so that people can learn how to build them up themselves.
Okay.
Hope that has value.
I'm sure it does. We're looking at Annie, the 28th of the 1st, 1950. That's Annie. 28th of the 1st, 1950. And if you've just tuned in, we have Bev Malone, our self-esteem engineer, in the studio with us until 10. So this will probably be our last one. There's so many other SMSs. And if we didn't get to yours, well, please do continue SMSing next week. And hopefully we'll deal with yours next week. But let's look at Annie.
1950.
Yeah. Somebody so 28th asked of the 1st, 1950.
Somebody asked me, 28th, isn't it?
28th yeah. of January. Yeah.
Somebody asked me on Facebook what it means to be what is an intuitive numerologist? You know, why am I intuitive, not just a numerologist? And the only offer I can give to that is that I haven't got anything to teach anybody. I wish I did. A lot of people have approached me and said, can you teach me what you do? Can you teach me what you know? And I'm unfortunately, the best I've offered on radio and off radio is to say, learn numbers, learn how the energy other people attach to them from multitudes of different opinions. Then see what resonates for you and start playing with numbers and see if you get more than a clinical, well, this book says that and that book says that. See what happens. Because that's very much what happened for me. And when I stopped looking at it through the eyes of others and I let whatever these numbers were trying to tell me, I started to get stuff and people were saying, that's so spot on, that's so spot on. I've been to numerologists, I've never got that, etc. I don't know how else to put it other than it's intuitively given to me from elsewhere. And so I can't teach it. And so to call myself a standard numerologist would not be reasonable. And to say I'm just intuitively reading people off their credit cards or their facial expressions wouldn't be reasonable either. I do use birth dates. But what comes from just writing out the numeric profile of a birth date is intuitive. Don't know where else to put it. So I hope that clears that up. And when we're looking at Annie, we're looking at a deeply sensitive woman with high expectations for planet Earth. And we see so much of
another
this.
Another one.
We see so much of this today because all the people who were born in the at the end of the war have come through into this world with an energy of parents who are really hoping for new, really praying that the worst is over, that the world will ever see. And, you know, all the people born in the late 40s and 50s were born with a desperate need for there to be a rebirth, almost like a forest that's burned to the ground and you go hunting for the green shoots coming through it after the rain. It's like, oh, I need to see life. I need to see something bright. And so a lot of them, with so much prayer and emphasis on rebirth and newness and gentleness, were born in the 50s and 60s and even 70s, but more 50s and 60s, with this lightness, this ability to bring light into the world. They're like some people like Doreen Virtue, who speaks about the indigo children and the rainbow and crystal that are coming through now and etc. and the light workers. And it's very interesting to listen to what she has to say because it does bring a lot of clarity into what we're seeing around us. A lot of these people are light workers and this is one of them. And so Annie, if you're not light working out there and using some of that amazing capacity you have to want to help and to reach out and to change things and to nurture and care and perfect the world, if you're not using that energy in a way that is at least changing the lives of yourself and the people in your immediate vicinity, start doing it. That's the short version. Start doing it because that is such a natural ability for her. There is the insecurity, the need for security. There is self-esteem stuff here. So there will be stuff that will have happened to a sensitive child in a post-war childhood that would not have been easy. And that's what most of the light workers went through. And often many of them have faced divorces, which was unusual for the previous generation, very unusual. But they have later in life decided that maybe marriage for life wasn't the best idea with this particular person, and they've been willing to move on, and etc. And what we have found with these people is that their sensitivities were so close to the surface because everything that came out of that generation, of the births of the 50s and 60s, that's when we had our baby boomers, right, etc., a lot of this energy that's come out with the birth of those people is a need to cleanse the world. And it's almost like all those parents were offering a cleansing to the world. Here's my child. Here's my child who will bring cleansing to the world. We'll bring cleansing to my life. We'll bring gentleness and love and spirit and a generosity and the opposite of genocide, the nurturing and humanity. And so those people have been giving birth to the indigo children, etc., who came into this world going, why have you pulled me out of heaven? What am I doing here? And it's and you're here to rebuild and you're here to change things and you're here to redefine things and you're here to reignite a passion for humanity. And then they're giving birth to crystal children who are going, no, seriously, you still kill animals to eat them? A lot of people will look around, they'll find these kids who at 3 or 4 years old rejected meat and will not touch it, and their whole family enjoys it. That's one of the primary things I find is a lack of temperament that is violent and this need to eat in a very gentle way. And it's an unbelievable gift that all of these people are bringing to the world. But Annie, without question, has light worker energy coming through here. There is a woman who can help and change and care for and has a clever mind and a nurturing, beautiful spirit. And I hope that you're using it in a way that is as unboundaried as your dreams are. Because there's big dreams here. And she doesn't share them with people because she fears rejection. And I hope that you work through that and you start to do one or two of the things that you've always dreamed of to help others and set up systems that can serve others, because it's there, Annie.
Well, you know it. Even if she didn't, I think she's now inspired to, Bev. I think she is.
Go do it.
Go for it, Annie. So, Bev, thanks so much. That the half hour always flies. And for those people, you know, who we weren't able to go through, if Bev wasn't able to look at your numbers, please do listen. Same time next week between 9:30 and 10. Send your SMSs or call us. Bev, thanks so much. Have a wonderful
weekend.
Thank
you so much. You too.